Hello.
And welcome to You on the Verge with Verge. We appreciate you tuning in today. We've been talking in past times and podcasts, our prior podcast, that we're going to expand our approach. And so I'm happy to say today that I have my son David Sanford with me today. Say hello, David.
Hello, introduce everybody. Yourself. Hello, everybody. My name is David Sanford. I'm 15, a freshman in high school, an all-A student. And I'm excited to join my dad on this podcast.
Thank you so much, David. I appreciate you agreeing to do this. This is a very courageous thing that you're doing, as you know, that we're heard worldwide, all around the globe. And so you're getting global exposure, international exposure. And our goal for this mission for this podcast is to use this as a platform to give out information that's providing inspiration for people that will lead to transformation and changing in the way they think, changing the things they do, ultimately changing the quality of their lives. Mm-hmm. So thank you again for joining me. And we're looking forward to this in-depth discussion, very thought-provoking subject matter. I want to start by asking you, David, what is the biggest thing that stresses you out today in the culture that you live in?
The biggest thing that stresses me out today is probably the path that I'm on and where I'm headed as for my future. And I say that because I don't really have a plan, like set in stone, for what I'm trying to do. I usually just make it up as I go on. So the unknown is basically what stresses me out the most as of right now.
Wow, man. I don't think that's a very uncommon challenge for people. I think it actually is a very common challenge for people, even adults who are well into their lives. Not only is someone that's a student, people who have attended college and well into their careers are finding that they don't have a good plan in place, and they're finding themselves in places that they really don't want to be because they didn't put a strategy and a structure in place. I think what you're saying is very fundamental and foundational, because if we don't plan, we plan to fail if we fail to plan. So what you just pointed out, I think everybody can relate to. And so I'm finding for myself is that the ability to conquer myself, self-mastery, self-control, is one of the main things that stress me out. I mean, it's not necessarily a stress, but it presents a challenge. Understanding that I can't control the things that go on around me, but I can control what I do. And I can control the decisions that I make. God has given us the dignity of choice, and we could make choices in life. And so it's hard to make good choices if you don't have a good plan, as you've indicated. So what do you think you can do to kind of help yourself in that particular challenge?
I think that I shouldn't just worry about it. I think things will happen naturally. I believe that whatever's in store for me is a part of God's plan. And I decided to trust God's plan. But it's still, like, would be nice to know where I'm headed. But once I get there, I think I would know, like, the steps that I took to get me there. And I know whether it's the right choice or not. Because I feel like the worst thing is living your life with regret. So I just hope that the choices that I make are good ones.
Man, this conversation can open up for major interaction and communication, because what you said was really important. We say that God's plan for our life is going to unfold regardless, but I think by God giving us the dignity of making choices, our choices determine the quality of our future. If we make poor choices, our future is not going to be that bright. And so God has given us the ability to make decisions. And if we make clear, strong, good decisions for ourselves, I think we set ourselves up for a bright future, a bright forecast. And so I'm glad that you pointed out that the lacking ability to make a good plan for yourself is a challenge for you. And so in God's infinite wisdom and understanding, He's provided for you parents who can help come alongside to provide some type of direction and guidance for your life until you're able to make strong decisions for yourself. And I think being raised and reared in a home where you can get the kind of support you need leads to the reason why you're at your at the place that you're at in your life, David. You, as mentioned, that you're an A student. You're an honor roll student. You have AP advanced courses. I think all of your courses are advanced. Is that right?
Yep.
What kind of courses do you take? What kind of courses are you dealing with in school?
Well, I have advanced placement, human geography. I'm in honors geometry, honors biology, and I'm in honors English. And the rest of classes are human, computer science, and French. And then there's the universal gym class that we all take. Most of my classes are honors or AP.
How did you position yourself to have that advantage? As a lot of kids in your as freshmen are not blessed to have that kind of academic ability right now to operate on that particular platform. How did you get to be an honor roll student?
I think it just all comes from hard work and staying on task. And, you know, I grew up with my mom and my grandmother all over me about doing my work. They were always helping me. I still remember to this day how my grandma would always help me write my name, and that's how my handwriting is so neat and nice. I think they played a huge part. My mom would always check my homework, always help me with my work when I needed it, help me study with study guides. I think it all comes from hard work and focus.
I agree. I think both of those that you pointed out, qualities that you pointed out, you had an advantage. Your grandmother was an educator herself. She was a dean of a university of adult education. And your mom, of course, has a college degree, and she's a professional registered nurse. And so being that you are around people who have a strong academic foundation was fundamental to getting you off to a strong start. And I'm finding that most young people that I interact with don't have that advantage. For example, I didn't have that advantage when I was reared in a home. My mother had a GED that she went back to school and studied and got a GED, but nobody around me was good academically. So as a result of that, I didn't have a strong academic career for myself. So I applaud you. And I'm very happy that you are off to a strong start in your educational career. Are you looking to go to college?
I think I am looking to go to college. I feel like it would just be better for my resume and getting good jobs and seeking higher education to be able to like start your own business or do whatever you're trying to do in life. I think that would be the base found for your future in your career. So
well,
yeah.
You've already indicated that you're not sure about the direction and course. You don't have a plan in place, but I think you got a pretty good vision indicated that you may even want to start your own business. That's one of the things, that's the difference between rich parents and poor parents. Poor parents teach their kids and train their kids to get a good education so that you can get a good job. Rich people train their children to get a good education so you can provide good jobs so that people can work for you instead of you working for people. And so I think we can start thinking along those lines because of you. You already have an advantage academically. You may be able to start a particular business that many people can benefit from. You know, I was listening to George Myers yesterday giving a testimony of an incident happened in her ministry.
Mm-hmm.
She indicated that she have 300 employees. I couldn't imagine how many employees a person like T.D. Jakes, how many people, homes that he's providing for, how many families he's helping financially by providing good, strong jobs and careers for people. So you might want to kind of think about that.
Wow.
This self-mastery and conquering yourself is one of the biggest challenges, David, that I've experienced now at my age and the stage that I'm at in life. I'm finding that the thing that challenges me most is self-mastery. If you can master yourself, I think one of the greatest successes a man can experience in the world and in this life that we know of is to be able to master yourself, self-discipline, self-confidence, self-control, self-motivation, having a strong self-image, a healthy self-esteem, self-reliance, to be able to rely on yourself, being dependable, not being self-centered and this self-absorption, you know, being full of your own ego and pride. But then you become, you're operating and struggling with self-destruction and self-denial. I think we need self-determination and self-motivation. And those are the kind of things that lead to a productive life. And so it seems like you already operating in self-determination because you're determined to earn good grades, to have a strong academic career. And you're self-motivated because you work well. You say that you work hard. And so let me ask you, David, how do you stay positive? What is it that keeps you focused to be the same way? You always seem to have a good attitude every day. Every day that I see you, you're the same way. You know, I don't see you walking around with your head down, sad. You don't ever appear to be depressed. And I know you got challenges and things that challenge you in life. I never see you looking unhappy. What is it that you do to keep yourself so balanced?
Well, I always thought that self-mastery was being able to help others while also being able to help yourself. So I usually just, you know, stay within the boundaries of myself, and you know, whatever I'm struggling with, I try to I deal with it, you know, I try to keep pushing. I don't let it affect me because I know that if I let it affect me, it could also affect the people around me. And I don't want to let any of the negative energy interact with my positive energy. Mm-hmm. I also try to keep off of bad thoughts and maintain my good thoughts and never let any of the bad things overcome the good things that have happened in my life.
I like that. I think that's a great answer. Another thing that that gives you an advantage is, and you and I both, is when I discovered the gospel truth, the gospel message that Jesus Christ was Lord, and I got exposed to men who were strong and grounded and rooted in the faith, and you've been a part of my ministry, Courageous Ministry. And we are men of faith. We have confidence in God. We have confidence in ourselves. And I think that adds to our ability to remain balanced and to be able to have a good vision for yourself. And a strong faith is really fundamental and foundational, understanding that we already have been saved from sin, destruction, and hell, eternal damnation, and that we have a place reserved for us in heaven. Just understanding that brings a level of peace that when I leave this world, that I'll be in the presence of God and in a good place. And so that's security, knowing that we already made a strong decision for our faith and trust in God and allowing him to provide leadership according to his word to help us work through some of the challenges in life. Would you say that you have a strong spiritual foundation as a young man, 15 years old?
I feel like my spiritual foundation is pretty good, especially since I've been, as you said, I went to, I was a part of Courageous Ministries. I went to Tabor Church a lot with you in the morning on Sundays. We participated in a lot of their events on Wednesdays when they would cook food and have Bible study. I've learned how to pray at nighttime, pray in the morning. Thank God for like waking us up in the morning. I remember reading the Bible. I would like highlight and take notes. I think I got up to the book of David before I stopped for like a brief moment. But I feel like my foundation is pretty good.
Wow, that's a blessing, man. I think that that spiritual foundation sets the tone for the rest of your life. Understanding that God is with you and he's actually in control and he's helping to lead and guide you along the course of life adds a level of security too and self-confidence. So how with this being an experience for you now, you've moved from Mark Sheridan, which was a middle school, primarily, I think predominantly Asian. Now you're at Kenwood Academy. So what's the difference in the two schools, in the two cultures? I mean, how is it different now that you're in high school?
I feel like high school is way more advanced than middle school is, especially with the new courses and clubs that they include and more opportunities for students. The first thing Miss Calloway, the principal of Kenwood, said when we went to our freshman connection, she said that the main goal of the school is college. Nothing else. Like, they ain't want no cheesy or overlong goal for students to memorize. The simplest thing to strive for is college and success in life. And I feel like that in itself is such a huge difference from middle school, because I feel like middle school was in preparation for getting you to high school, and high school is preparing you for college.
Yes, and the culture is a lot different. You have a greater sense of independence in high school. You can move around and make different decisions for yourself. You're more or less unsupervised in this particular experience. What's your feeling about that? Has that changed from eighth grade?
Has what changed?
Being around pretty girls. How does that affect? Does that cause a problem for you? Or how do you manage to keep your balance and focus?
I think that has changed a lot, because at my old school, there weren't a lot of pretty girls, but Kenwood is way more different. It's more diverse when it comes to women. But I have noticed that a lot of pretty girls, they look the same, but I don't think that takes away my attention from my focus on my grades and like on my education. I mean, sure, it would be a nice little off course or whatever, but I feel like it wouldn't get too much attention.
Well, I'm happy to know that you have developed a discipline to keep boundaries up. I think that's what happens in the home. That wasn't a strong suit for me. Even though I was raised in a two-parent home, my mom was very dominant and my dad played more of a passive role. So I didn't have a good, strong role model in front of me that operated in discipline and manhood, clearly. And so understanding that you have a strong support system behind you, David, that provide resources. You have three beautiful sisters who are extremely gorgeous, and you have two strong brothers, and you know, who have already been through what you're going through. And I think you guys went to the same school. I know three of your siblings went to Kenwood as well, and including me. I graduated from Kenwood in 1974. And I can speak to your principal. Is an amazing lady. Actually, when Simone was going there, she was just the dean of students, and she played a significant role in having personal relationships with the kids. She was very engaged. So you had a great place, and you know, I think it's really an advantage that you have to have a spiritual foundation, to have access to parents who understand to a better degree good, strong parenting, parenting skills, and setting up the kind of environment that you can come up in where you're free to ask questions, you're free to be yourself, and you don't have to do this tightrope walking with us. You know, we give you room to be yourself, to make the mistakes in the home where it's safe, and you're going to get support and direction. And so that's an advantage. Do you feel like some of your peers and friends have the same advantage with their relationship with their parents?
I feel like some do. You can just tell based off of their structure and their posture, how they like move, how they walk, how they talk to people. You can tell the level of comfort. Mm-hmm. But I feel like others may not have the same advantage that I do, and you can tell based off like how they choose their friends and how they talk to people. You can tell that maybe they may not trust people, they may mm-hmm. just stay to themselves, may not want to have friends. But there are many different qualities that people have. Everybody yeah. has a different story. So
that's true.
So yeah.
Yeah, well, so what do you think is an advantage for you as far as your social skills? You have friends that you socialize with, or you have friends that may be challenged more at home? Do you recognize any of your buddies who may be battling with suicidal thoughts or depression, or not really sure about their identity or anything like that? Have you met any friends like that?
I don't notice any of that in like the friends that I have as of right now, but I may notice that in some people that actually go to the school who are in the same classes as me. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen any suicidal tendencies or depression, but I can notice when people are like sad or happy or in mm-hmm. like a good or bad mood. I can tell when people may be struggling with something at home. I haven't seen a lot of it, but you can just tell when you look at somebody. You can see based off of their posture, if their head is down, if yeah. they're walking slow with their head down. You know, people really yeah. don't notice that, especially with the crowded hallways at school. Nobody really goes out of their way to look at you or like analyze how you may be feeling. And I yeah. feel like that's how people are overlooked and not paid attention to. And there's people who are hiding things in, who don't even talk to their own parents or their own family about things, or their school counselor. So
yeah. Well, how do you feel about that personally? I mean, as your dad, do you feel like you can approach me? Am I the kind of father who's approachable, or that you feel like you can talk to about some things that's really big issues, maybe something you're struggling with?
Oh yeah. I feel like I can talk to pretty much almost anybody. I wouldn't say anybody, I won't use that word too loosely, but I can definitely like trust you or my like sisters or brothers. I can trust my family. I can talk to y'all since you've been where I'm at. So I definitely feel like I can talk to you.
Well, I appreciate that, and I've always known that we've tried to provide a safe place for you where you can develop your own voice. Actually, I think this podcast is going to be instrumental in that, because I know that you have a lot to offer. You're very insightful, and so is my granddaughter, Shelly, who's 12, and Jayla, my niece, who's going to be joining us in a week or two to expand our co-host ability. And so we'll be engaged in some really good discussions. You guys have given a list of great topics and hotbed conversations that we're going to have. So it's going to be a great a pleasure for our audience. It's going to be a nice treat to hear the different perspectives from the millennials, the X and Y generation, and me being an old school old head, the generational perspectives will be very helpful to people, because the world that we live in today is not the same world that it was when I came along. So what about the drug culture? I mean, do you have peers who may be struggling with drugs and alcohol? Do you see any of that, or are you aware of it?
I'm aware of it, but I haven't seen any of my anybody using or drinking. But you can smell it sometimes. You can mostly smell it downstairs in the close to the exit door, one of the doors. You can tell. Yeah. Or when somebody looks like they're tripping in the back of the classroom, you can also see that. But I haven't come in contact with it yet. So,
well, how do you keep your balance? I mean, in a culture like that, you seem to have a pretty good grip on your own identity. You don't seem to be bothered by peer pressure. Do you have any trouble with that, and or anything bullying or anything like that a lot of young people your age struggle with?
I don't struggle with any of that, really. I feel like Kenwood is just a place where you can just be yourself and be independent. I don't feel like, especially since Miss Calloway doesn't do any of that nonsense, it's really a safe space. So the only thing that people should be worried about there is just their social skills, or just doing their work completely, their education.
Mm-hmm. So you had a choice to either go to Whitney Young and Kenwood. What was the motivation? What caused you to choose Kenwood over Whitney Young, which is people were killed to get in?
I feel like Kenwood has just, I really paid attention to their drive. And even though they may not be the best school, they consider themselves the best school in Chicago. I like that. And I like how their spirit. I appreciate how Kenwood is. It's pretty, I feel like Kenwood is different from Whitney Young. Whitney Young is I have much respect for that school because my cousins went there. My mom went to Whitney Young. But I feel like Kenwood is just, has something special about it that Whitney Young doesn't in particular.
Mm-hmm. Because, well, I'm glad. I'm sorry.
Oh, because Kenwood, it just has a certain fire in it. Mm-hmm. And I feel like just even going there yourself would give you a part of that fire too. So
yeah. Well, I'm proud of you, because I think you came in with the minority decision. Most of the people in the family was hoping you would choose Whitney Young, but it's good to see that you're your own person, that you're able to make decisions based on what you feel is best for you. Even though you consider everybody else's opinion, you came up with the final decision that was a very unpopular decision. But I'm glad that you chose Kenwood, and so are the alumni in our family.
Thank you.
And I know that you're welcome, and I know that you're going to be successful in your educational career, and we're going to do everything we can to provide direction and guidance in your future for whatever you choose as a career. I don't know, you may be a governor or a bishop of an organization, a religious organization. I have no idea. But as so far, so good. And it's really a pleasure to have you aboard. On the verge with Verge, I think we're on the verge of discovering and unfolding and unpacking some great, great perspectives and insights where people can live by. We have the wherewithal and the ability, with the help of the Lord, to empower and to impact others. And with that being said, David, you want to share any closing remarks? What are you looking for in this platform, this podcast platform?
I'm looking forward to just giving people ideas and helping them with some introspection of their own thoughts. I would love to help people with their own struggles, because the things that we're going to be talking about is going to be a lot of common and interesting things that many people across the world are dealing with and struggling with. And for the people that don't know who to talk to, they can just listen to the podcast, and that will help them. It could be like therapy. And we have the advantage of having different age groups. So I think that would be very, very beneficial.
Well, thank you, David Sanford. And it's a pleasure having you aboard. I salute you and I welcome you wholeheartedly. I want to say with my closing remarks, what we bury alive, it never dies. If we don't confront the issues and nip it in the bud, it shows up somewhere later in your life. I was everything to everybody, but nothing to me. And I was a people pleaser with the disease to please. And I like the fact that you focused, David, on self-mastery and understanding that we can't care about what people think about us. We care, but not that much. I found out that Proverbs, the 4th chapter, the 23rd and 24th verse talks about that we ought to keep our heart with all diligence, because out of the heart flows the issues of life. And I think if we tend to our ear gate and the things that we listen to, and our eye gate, the things that we watch, I think our heart would be a lot more fertile and healthy, and the type of decisions and choices we make we'll live by and bear fruit. We ought to go inwardly and pay attention to what's going on inside of us, because we've been conditioned to live from the outside in. And one of the things that I'm hearing you say, David, is that you don't let the conditions and the people and places and things that happen outside of you determine the choices you make, especially in who you are in your identity.
That's right.
Your values, yes. Your values are determined by your mindset. You seem like to me that you have a strong grip on your mindset and who you are in your isness. I'll use that word. In your own identity, you're confident in who you are because you know whose you are. And one of the things that I'm focused on is I understand that I must manage my imperfections well, knowing that I'm not perfect and that I have imperfections. Those are the kind of things that I'm constantly working on so that I can be the best version of myself. And so with that being said, I'm hoping and praying that our listening audience is greatly benefiting from this conversation and this discussion. Continue to pray for this ministry. Continue to pray for this podcast. As we pray for our listening audience, and we'll continue to pray for you as you pray for us. And we're looking forward to further discussion in the vicissitudes and changes of life and how to be inspirational and motivational in a productive life. That's not only impactful for your own life, but great impact, positive and productive impact on the lives of the people we love and care about. I want to say God bless you and thank you for listening to On the Verge with Verge. Bye now.
Bye.